Thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
Well, welcome to Journey Now podcast. My name's Kevin. I'm one of the pastors here at Journey, and we are with a different crew today due to the unexpected absences due to a variety of reasons. And COVID seems to always be playing a role in who's here and who's not here. But today, I have one of our newest staff members, Betsy Rainey.
Hello.
B-Rain.
Yeah. And our illustrious, you've been on a few times, but you haven't been here in a while.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. Rob Gonzalez.
Bobby G.
Bobby G. And thank you for joining me in this impromptu moment of Journey Now podcast lore.
We just kicked everybody else off.
Well, that's what happened.
We said, right. We're taking over.
Right.
It's our turn. It's our Mike. Yep. Susie.
I've only been here for 2 weeks, but
yep. You're in.
It's my turn.
It's your turn. You're in. So, well, this will be fun. I hope we can have a lively discussion around this idea of, on Sunday, we talked a little bit about the difference between cultural Christianity and following Jesus and what that means and what captures our heart. And I kind of want to talk about with you guys. You guys are a different generation than me. I'm a boomer, so I'm not even Gen X. I'm beyond that. And you guys both millennials, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm probably the youngest person on staff.
I believe you are.
Yeah. Whole new perspective.
Which is awesome.
I'm an old millennial though.
Yeah.
So I'm a young millennial.
Yeah, and I'm a young boomer.
Disclaimer.
Which isn't saying much, right? But we have different worldviews and how we see the world and how we've been formed and shaped. And so what might be helpful is that as we have this conversation, a little bit of history, Rob grew up in California. What town did you grow up in?
Santa Barbara.
And how did that in many ways just shape the way you saw the world?
Yeah, it was a interesting experience because Santa Barbara is very affluent, mm-hmm. and so money is everywhere.
Right.
And I grew up in a pretty poor home, and we were on the poor side of town, and so we experienced a beautiful place, but no money.
Right.
We were on food stamps, all those things, and so money was king, though. Like, yeah. It was a different experience being out there in California. I wasn't aware specifically of, like, my race or my color, but I was aware of my lack of money.
Yeah.
And so friends I had like really early on in elementary when they got to high school, like the money just pushed us further and further apart.
Right.
Wow.
So it was an interesting
dynamic. Yeah.
For sure.
So how you saw the world was through.
Yeah. If you had money, you were in power, your control. That's what mattered the most.
Yeah. Mm.
Above anything else, money was the most important thing.
It didn't matter what race you were.
Mm-mm.
Cool. Mm-mm. Betsy, where'd you grow up?
Nashville, Tennessee.
She's a unicorn.
Went to Belmont.
Right down the road. Yeah. I went to Catholic school my whole life, private Catholic.
Okay.
So.
Boy, that had to shape your world a little bit.
Very much so.
Did you have nuns for?
I did, actually. Okay. Yeah. My great aunt is a nun. So my grandfather's sister. And they went on family vacations with us, the whole nine yards. So
oh, man.
Very close to nuns. They're both cracking
up. I'd love to see what that looks like.
Yeah. My worldview was probably a bit skewed compared to some other people's. But I grew up with like a very family unit. Everybody in our school had family units. You know, there wasn't much divorce. There wasn't much poverty, primarily white.
I was going to say, was it ethnically diverse at all?
No.
No?
Very Catholic. So it's one narrow kind of road.
Yeah. I'm going to poke that just a little bit.
Okay.
And just ask, what's it like to be Catholic in a very Protestant, very much so Baptistic culture here? Did you notice that at all?
So when
you went to Belmont,
I went to Belmont. It's interesting. I really love my Catholic upbringing. Mm-hmm. I really admire and like love the respect that the Catholic Church has for a lot of things in the tradition. But I just needed to get out, kind of like experience things differently.
Yeah.
And my husband is actually, he grew up Pentecostal. So wow. We are very different. Wow. And we landed wow. here. Yeah. So yeah. This is kind of, it's just a good happy place for us. So it's easy.
Are you saying Journey is the middle between Catholic, never mind.
There's some truth in that.
It might be.
Might be.
Yeah.
And so you guys bring like, and I grew up in a paper mill town in northern Minnesota. So we all have different ways that we see the world. I very much grew up with a blue collar mentality.
So basically like The Office is your Dunder Mifflin. That's basically what you're describing right now.
It was worse than that. Anyway, so there's this how we see the world matters.
Yep.
How we engage with the world matters. And so with that comes this, I grew up going to a little Baptist church. You grew up Catholic. You grew up
poor.
but your a lot of your background though is a little bit of the charismatic.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I left. I grew up like high school-ish years was AG. Before that, it was non-denominational, but Pentecostal.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that until I left that.
Right, because you didn't know anything.
And then I was like, oh, that's that's this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that did influence as well. I grew up in church.
Right.
Which shaped me for sure.
And how you see the things around you and the people around you. And so oftentimes that carries over into adulthood and there is this sense of where, okay, now I've got to take what I was raised in and start asking questions about it. So there's a way to do that I think sometimes is really helpful. And then there's some ways that I think we do that and we kind of miss the point. But with that being said, as followers of Jesus on Sunday, we talked a little bit about just how the last couple of years of the world between coronavirus, insurrections, political stuff, race stuff, all that stuff, America's kind of been thrown into the whole world. We're just like the rest of the world now.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting corona. I mean, it is part of the deal.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why it's the three of us doing this today.
Yeah.
It's a world where even politically we're starting to see, we have cracks in our system. Mm-hmm. We have, and race has been a problem forever, but all of a sudden now this big spotlight has been switched on. Mm-hmm. Now here, another question, just as Gen X, did you guys grow up having cell phones?
So I actually got a cell phone like 16, 17 in high school.
Okay.
But I started high school freshman year with a pager.
Right.
Wow. And then ended high school with a cell phone.
Flip phone, so right?
Yeah. It wasn't a flip phone, but I did, for all the millennials out there, the Razor was like
phone. Yeah. I remember the Razor. So
that was money.
Okay. Yeah. Did you?
I had one in eighth grade because I was the last. I'm the youngest in my family. Uh-huh. So I was the last one at that school. And my parents were like, we need to be able to know where you are. I did extracurricular. So okay. I had a flip phone. All it did was make phone calls. So
you didn't play Snake?
No.
Gosh. Great game. No.
So the question of worldview for you guys, you know, like is different than it is for me. I don't think like if something is happening around me, like culturally, i.e. what happened to George Floyd, it would never dawn on me to take out my phone and start recording.
Yeah. Mm.
But we live in a world now where what previously would have gone unnoticed or was a blip on the screen has now become viral.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For lack of a better term. I hate that term, but it has turned into I can make my own news platform.
Yeah.
And so how the world is seen now is seen through this idea of, I can put this on a video and I can put it on my Twitter account. I can put it on TikTok. I can put it on Facebook or Instagram, whatever your platform is. And it has a tendency now to provoke or get response. And so from your vantage point, how has, as you guys have more grown up with it than I have, how has the idea of that, the personal platform of social media, changed the way that you see the world?
Yeah. It's difficult to think about that. I mean, I'm 27 and I'm like, I still have a lot of life to live. And looking at how divided everything is.
Correct.
So your worldview, in my opinion, your worldview depends on who you follow, what you're following.
Correct.
Who's in your newsfeed. So you and I could wake up and, you know, show up at staff meeting and be like, hey, did you read the news this morning? And you could say, yeah. And we could be talking about two completely different
worlds.
Things.
Worlds.
Yeah, literally.
Yes.
So I think that is the most terrifying thing to me about what's been going on, like with your quote, own personal platforms.
Right.
Because now suddenly I'm a valid source for who, for what, for whatever I believe personally.
Right.
And when it's not centered on the gospel or Jesus or even facts, a lot of news these days
is
emotion.
Yeah, it's misinformation.
Yeah.
Right.
But if I have, you know, a million followers and I'm emotional about this one thing and I post, suddenly you have credibility to share what I've shared because I have a million followers. So this is factual, right?
Right.
I think that's a big problem that we're dealing with, and I don't know what's going to happen next.
But it changes the way you see what's the world.
Oh, absolutely.
It changes it.
Absolutely.
Because if all you have is one thing feeding you and you're following it,
yep.
It has a tendency to push you into places that might not be healthy.
So it's weird. I don't want to sound super old because I'm not that old. I'm 35, but
okay. It's not, no, okay, we know we got 27, 35, 58. Okay.
I would have gone. Never mind.
Never mind. Thanks, Rob.
But like I remember growing up, like my grandfather, I would watch him in the mornings and he kind of had his routine, right? News going on in the background, a cup of coffee, the newspaper, right? That's your morning routine, I know.
It used to be. Now it's I read the news on my computer.
Yeah.
But like, there you go.
Depending on what channel he was on and depending on what newspaper he was on,
right,
that was what fed his worldview.
Correct.
What was happening in the world.
But there were fewer, sorry to interrupt, there were fewer channels.
There were fewer channels, fewer sources, right? And
correct.
As a, you know, high school kid,
I
wasn't reading the newspaper.
No.
I wasn't watching the news channels, right? Maybe if something went wrong, I did. But like for the most part, my worldview at that point was whatever my parents told me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. I just believe what they believe.
And your peers.
And my peers.
Yep.
But what do my peers know? Because they're 16 like me.
Right. Right.
Did
you get a date? What's going on? You know, where's the car?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get a car?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty simple.
Show me your new razor.
Yeah.
What color is it?
Did you get the Sidekick? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So with the internet, that all changed because we all, and specifically social media, right? Like I'm MySpace generation. Like we had MySpace. We heard of Facebook before Facebook was actually a thing.
Yes.
Mm.
Right.
But it gave everybody like a platform.
Yes.
And so now it's so cluttered, convoluted.
Yes.
And I think there was when it came to like truth in the world or facts.
Yeah.
It was pretty agreeable where we could find those.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
News sources or website. Now, facts and credible sources could be anywhere, could be anything. I heard so-and-so's grandpa said, who works in this industry, say this about that industry.
Right.
I'm like, what?
And it becomes viral. Somebody writes a blog post and it gets shared 50,000 times.
Whether it's true or not.
Right.
And what is, and we've seen this epidemic of shared ignorance throughout, especially with things like vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I've heard it that it affects this, and I've heard that it's affect, and so everybody becomes an expert, and so there becomes this skepticism. Where in the past, when I was growing up, you get vaccinated.
They lined you up.
Just No one asked. No one said, you know, this is just for your own good. We're going to give you a vaccination. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
And there was a sense, and the other part of that was when I was growing up, there was a sense of trust that was given to certain professions, doctors, pastors, there was police. I mean, the list was, you're taught as you grow up, these are trustworthy, safe people.
So what it's done, I think, to I can't speak for everyone.
That's all gone, by the way.
Yeah.
That's
completely.
That's just gone.
Yeah.
I think what it's done, in my perspective, mm-hmm. to specifically like people that I, like my generation, mm-hmm. I think it's caused everyone to now become, you either become really skeptical,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or you become a fact checker.
Yep.
Right.
Well, so, how do you fact check?
Well, and so that's the challenge.
I mean,
yeah. But that's the challenge, yeah. right? You have Snoops. To do a lot of work.
Yep.
To get to a point to where you go, okay, I believe this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's everybody, every platform now, every news yep. source, news cycle, it's caused, I think, most people to be skeptical of all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost in a way of anybody in power, government, news cycle, none of them can be trusted unless they're my preferred source.
Right. It's subjective.
Very like, subjective.
My like, truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the truth. It's my truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you resonate with, if I agree with what you're saying, whether it's political, whether it's whatever.
So but that's the thing. It's
but only, I have to agree with you.
But it's otherwise. Only true
right.
if it's agreeable.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so the.
So there's no basis to challenge that personal truth is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's just. It's my truth.
And so I think what COVID did
yeah.
is it wrecked all of it. Because it was like, well, what is true? Like, right. we actually don't know.
Right.
Like, we're still trying to figure this out.
Right. Mm.
It's a work in progress.
Right.
Bear with us.
Yes.
This may work for this moment. This may work differently for this moment.
Right.
But I think it revealed all of the things inside of us, whether uh-huh. it was skeptical, agreeable, believable, mm-hmm. doubtful, all those things were revealed inside of us during that time.
Yeah.
And I think... For a lot of people, the response was, okay, I feel out of control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fear.
There's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
I feel out of control. Who do I trust?
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people leaned in. I think some people leaned into faith and mm-hmm. was like, whether yeah. it's your church community or pastors or, and yeah. leaned more into what they believe truth to be.
Yeah.
I think some people leaned further out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people leaned more introspective. Mm-hmm. I can only trust myself.
Yeah.
And I just think it revealed all of what we believe about right. ourselves and each other.
Yeah. Have you yeah. seen that true with your experience with your friends, Betsy, or have you, what has yeah. been your experience along that line?
Gosh, even, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but...
Just say it straight.
Yeah, we're it good. Is. I mean, even within my family, like both my family and Aaron's family, like we all have very different viewpoints. Everybody reads different news sources. So it's very interesting, you know, whenever that comes up to talk about. And we all love each other. Like that doesn't change. And
right.
I think that's something that I've noticed in the world. It's like, if I can't agree with you, then I can't like you.
Right.
And I think disagreeing with someone is just part of being human. Like you have your own opinions. You are who you are. And at the end of the day, if you love Jesus and I love Jesus and you know, you have this opinion, I have this opinion. Great. Like, I think I can still love you.
Right.
I should still love you.
Right.
Doesn't
work that way anymore.
No, it's like, if you think that, oh, I can't even look at you.
Right.
Like, I can't even be in the same room as you, you know? So, right.
So ideology or philosophy of life or worldview has become a dividing point
mm-hmm.
that doesn't even allow for or engage in conversation.
Yeah.
It's not only become a dividing point. I think it's actually become the most important thing for a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you, what your ideology is
mm-hmm.
matters more than I think sometimes,
mm-hmm.
Than whether you're a believer, whether you're right. a Democrat, Republican, like it is king in a lot of circles.
Right. Mm. Which is crazy.
Which is terrible.
Yeah.
But I find myself doing the same thing.
Sure. It's easy to drift into it.
Just delete yeah. your social media. I've been off since September. I don't know anything about anyone. It's the best. I can love everybody. It's great.
I just shrunk to a very small
yeah.
size of who I follow.
It's better if you just don't know.
Right.
Because then you can just love them.
Because the whole idea, and this is part of the dilemma of the culture we live in, is you are constantly being sought. Your heart is being constantly sought and chased by retailers, by sports teams, by hobbyists, by political parties, by you fill in the blank. Our cult—that's what our culture runs on. It runs on, and the feeding frenzy is on social media.
This is you're bringing up a point for me.
Okay,
I think this is why community is so important. Why isolation is so dangerous.
Yes.
True. Yeah.
It's because you don't know what you don't know.
Yep.
Right? Like, you don't always know what is feeding your soul, the things that you're giving your heart over to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you sit in a room with people and you express the overflow of your heart.
Yes.
And it's, you know, whatever it
and
is.
Everybody looks at you like, what was that?
But it gives people an opportunity to ask questions, right. to respond, to go, whoa.
Right.
Like, that's weird. That's off. That's, yeah. that's this.
But most people live in an echo chamber.
Oh, yeah.
That's what social media is. And that's by design. That's the thing that social media is wired to give you exactly what you want.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it still bothers me that I can talk around my phone and ads pop up. I know there's a way to fix that, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
But it's kind of freaky.
Yeah.
That we're that easily manipulated.
Yeah. It's I think that's been one of the biggest challenges of the COVID experience, is it drove us further into isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, I get why. I'm not like, right. like the quarantine, the lockdown, like I understand why.
Yeah.
I think, but post and kind of like post vaccine and like yep. post, you know, the current, you know, situation of our, of the virus and all that, like we still are in this space of massive individualism.
Right.
Yeah.
For some people, massive isolation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the community aspect of it is kind of gone away for a lot of people.
Well, but to take Betsy's point and go, yeah, but even when we do reach into community, we're looking for people who look like us, act like us, believe like us.
Share what we share.
And so that they will just parrot back to us and what we already believe, rather than sit in an mm-hmm. environment that allows for the differences to come out and allow for there to be molding and changing by a community.
Yeah.
That is really hard to find.
And it's actually really hard to do as well.
Yeah.
I think it's difficult. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. It's hard to do.
Like, I think.
But it should be part of the human adventure.
And I think it used to be civil. It's not so much anymore. Yeah. I think
that's what makes it hard. That's what makes it really hard.
Yeah.
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 And rejection then becomes part of the equation, because if I don't agree with you, then like you said a little while ago, then I'm out. I don't even want to be in presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do see a little bit of a shift, at least in the communities that I run in, like mm-hmm. where I think the initial response to all these things was like, you know, very intense emotion, whether, you know, whatever you believed about, whatever, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Vaccine, not vaccine, mask, not mask, like all right. those things.
Yeah.
I think the emotion's starting to die down a little bit. Huh. And I think people are starting to see, I think it revealed a lot in our hearts.
Yeah.
And I think people are starting to understand, whoa, there was something there that maybe I didn't know was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the conversations that I'm having now are changing a little bit, where they're becoming a little bit more civil than they were.
Okay.
But it's a slow, like,
right.
And even in me, like, I think I'm becoming more civil in sure. some of the conversations.
Yeah. yeah.
Because our worldview, and my worldview in particular, shaped a lot of my responses in yeah. this mm-hmm. in this entire
yeah.
space.
This season has been very revealing.
Yes.
So.
Uncovering.
Yeah. And as the hearts of people get revealed, you begin to go, oh, and hopefully for us as people of following Jesus, we go, oh, okay, that's my anger there is not right. Or mm-hmm. My judgment there is not right. It's a healthy revealing.
Yeah.
If you're going to deal with it.
I think it's why I love some of the messages, the teachings that we've had here, because you start and you may feel like, for me, I've listened to some of the messages and I'm like, yeah, like we're talking about the people on the other side kind of thing, right? Like, like yes, yes, yes. And then I remember very clearly the judgment message.
Yeah.
The wheat and the weeds.
Yes.
And I remember at the end of the conversation or the end of the message, us writing down our own judgments. Right. And I was like I remember writing down something in a group I've judged before and was like faced with my own sin,
right?
My own anger, my own even just like hatred. And I was like, I didn't even, like I knew it was there. I didn't know it was there to the depth of what I was feeling in that moment.
Sure.
And I was, I was just, it was hard to come face to face with the judgments.
But in a community that's safe, you can do that.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And you can shift. Yeah. You can move. You can, because part of holding up a mirror to somebody is to say, that's really you. That's what Jesus did over and over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are that.
Yeah.
You are that. So stop.
But without the community of people.
Right.
Helping us reflect back.
Right.
What is already in our hearts.
Yeah.
I miss out on that moment.
Correct.
And I go on believing, judging, right. doing the things that I think.
Yeah.
It actually was a very pivotal moment for me.
Cool.
Because it changed and I think gave me more compassion. Mm-hmm. Like to pray a blessing over somebody that you judge.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Like that is super difficult, especially if it's like, just like cause grief, heartache, mm-hmm. like maybe actual relational separation. If it's like family or people close to you, like that's tough.
Yeah.
And,
but healthy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, it makes you grow.
Yeah.
And makes you lean in more to, in my experience, who Jesus is and who he calls us to be.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the great benefits of being in a safe community is you can actually invite people into seeing your heart. Mm. And not feel judgment, not feel shame, but actually experience what it is to share who you are in its fullest sense without having to apologize, but also be changed. Hey, this was great. You guys are going to end up having to join me periodically just for grins and giggles.
Anytime.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you.
Hope this helps you guys at least wrestle with a few of those things that's going on in your life. Check us out on iTunes. Let some friends know. Rate us. Do what you need to do. And we'll see you next week on Journey Now.
If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you would share a screenshot of this episode to your Instagram story and tag us at journey_TN. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app.